You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a scientist about a recent study looking at elevated ozone levels in the Sheboygan area.
First, Governor Scott Walker signed the Regulations from the Executive in Need of Scrutiny, or RAINS Act, into law yesterday in Wausau. The measure requires legislative approval for any rule that would cost businesses or taxpayers more than $10 million.
Adam Nealon is the Republican Assembly representative from Pewaukee. He's chair of the Assembly Jobs and Economy Committee and a co-author of the RAINS Act. Representative Nealon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is law now. Spell out for us what changes, what is new in this legislation?
Well, like you mentioned, there would be a new requirement that if a rule that's been proposed has a price tag of over $10 million in compliance costs, then it would need to be approved by the full legislature, yes or no, for that rule to move forward. It also implements a new public hearing in the rule process so that small businesses and different industries are able to meet with an agency that's proposed a new rule before the analysis is rejected. And it would also allow for the legislature to request an independent economic analysis of a new proposed rule, so we're able to have a different perspective from outside of an agency that provides a more complete picture on the economic impact that new rule will have.
And as a co-author of this legislation, why did you see a need for it?
Well, I think in a lot of ways it's preventative in nature. I see the rulemaking process on a daily basis, and I see there are a lot of things that go through the rulemaking process that obviously have the same impact in law, and I don't believe they have the full scrutiny of the public or, quite frankly, the industries that are impacted by these rules because they're done through an administrative rulemaking process that the public doesn't really have as full of grasp on as they do the legislative process. You know, a lot of people participate in public hearings. A lot of people contact their legislators when there are proposed new laws, but there's not that same sort of discourse from the public for new administrative rules. So we thought bringing a little more scrutiny, a little more oversight into the rulemaking process would have a positive impact on the process overall.
Are there regulations, recent regulations from state agencies that you see would have been a good example of why this was needed?
Well, there aren't a whole lot of new rules with a price tag of over $10 million, quite frankly. It doesn't happen often. And the most recent example that I could think of was there was a rule put forward by the Department of Natural Resources in 2010 that had to do with phosphorus and surface waters in Wisconsin. And it far exceeded the federal standard that was implemented from the Clean Water Act. And on top of the federal law, there was billions of dollars in new compliance costs for companies to implement new rules set forth by the DNR. Another thing that I was looking at in my research was the ability potentially down the road to potentially change the renewable portfolio standard. We have set forth a certain amount of electricity burned from utility companies has to be renewable, and we've set that threshold years ago. And without this type of protection, it's very possible that an agency or potentially an executive down the line could attempt to change that renewable portfolio standard without going through the legislature. And I just think if you have a substantial policy proposal, whether it's good or bad or right or wrong, I think it warrants discussion through the legislature. And those are two examples that I can think of.
Talking to State Assembly Representative Adam Nealon from Pewaukee, co-author of the RAINS Act, which changes the way rulemaking works in state agencies, says if there's a price tag to taxpayers or businesses of $10 million or more, the legislature gets to weigh in with a vote on it. Criticism of this, some people are saying, hey, this is actually putting a political spin on what should be left to the experts in a particular agency, the DNR or what have you. Do you worry that this is just allowing too much political influence to go in on what these agencies are there to do?
I think it actually has more of an impact by empowering the public to hold legislators accountable for their actions. You know, the agencies and the scientists and the experts will still be able to weigh in. You know, they'll still be able to submit their rule proposals the same way they were previously. However, if there's a compliance cost over $10 million, it forces action of legislators. And that way, people are able to hold their legislators accountable for their actions. If a state agency, you know, sets forth a policy change that directly impacts people and they believe in a negative way, how does the public then weigh in? How does it hold an agency accountable, or how does it hold somebody in a department that potentially is pushing a political agenda through the rulemaking process? I think it's much easier to hold your legislator accountable. It's much easier for the public then to weigh in and have a say, because ultimately they elect lawmakers to set public policy. And quite frankly, I think legislators and lawmakers should be the one making laws. And I think agencies should be administrating the law, not making new ones.
And another concern is that, you know, maybe there's a new scientific finding that a particular pollutant, say, is causing a lot of damage or health risk. But if I'm in a business that would be affected by a new rule written to restrict that, I can just play a delaying game by saying, this is going to cost me more than $10 million, whether or not the agency agrees with it. I can ask for a second opinion. It's a way of getting around potentially needed regulation.
I think if it's potentially needed regulation, then you will see the legislature act on it. And quite frankly, the agencies are still able to submit these rules, and then the legislature will have to take an up or down vote on that. And a company impacted by a rule will not be able to say, hey, I have a $10 million compliance cost on this, stop the process. It's that determination is made through the agency who is puts together an analysis of how this rule will impact our economy. They currently do that already. They sit down and they try to project what type of impact this will have on the business climate. And if that impact is over $10 million, then there's another path for this rule to have to go through for it to pass. And that's why we thought it was important to provide the option of an independent economic analysis done, requested by the legislature, if the agency potentially comes back with something saying there will be no economic impact, you know, or something glaring that we think is not correct, that there's another option. It's kind of a way to hold them accountable, to make sure that they're putting correct figures forward, because then we have another option of moving forward. So it's not the company, or it's not the impacted industry, that would be able to request this independent economic analysis, and it's not the industry that's going to be able to say, okay, halt the rule because I'll be impacted by more than $10 million. It's going to ultimately be the agency or an independent economic analysis that makes that determination and then provide the legislature an opportunity to weigh in on that rule.
I know this is a brand spanking new piece of legislation. How often do you think it might come into play?
Well, I think the idea of us having to approve rules above $10 million will be rare. I think that is an exception to the rule. Majority of rules, quite frankly, don't have economic impact. A lot of them are, you know, changes to hunting or, you know, fishing issues, or, you know, different things that are not controversial or not expensive in nature. And the $10 million threshold likely won't be utilized often. However, there are other parts of the bill, like having a public hearing earlier in the process so that industries are able to weigh in and let agencies know how a potential rule will impact their agency before that rule is promulgated, that I think may be used quite often, you know, on substantial new rules, large rules. That public hearing aspect, we could see some changes. And I think positive changes within the open, transparent process of rulemaking. However, that $10 million threshold component of the rule, I see is more of a safety valve than something that is going to change the rulemaking process wholesale.
And I want to shift gears before I let you go. You tweeted yesterday that you wished you could have been at the signing of this legislation in Wausau, but you couldn't. You were in Madison working on the Foxconn incentive bill. What can you tell us about the latest in that process?
Sure. I mean, it's been unprecedented amount of amendments have came through our office over the last week or so since our public hearing. We are weighing through many amendments right now. There's probably 50 or 60 that have been proposed, and a lot of people think I'm being sarcastic, but I am not. I really mean 50 or 60 amendments that have been sent to our office, and we have been working on a bipartisan manner with both Republicans and Democrats on these amendments and local officials, representatives of Foxconn. It's been quite a process, and ultimately I think it's more important that we get it right than get it done fast. So we've had to delay the vote a few times, but you know, in cases like this, I think it's appropriate when you want to make sure you have the best possible product for the people of Wisconsin.
Representative Nealon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Representative Adam Nealon represents Pewaukee in the state assembly. He's an author of the RAINS Act, which Governor Walker signed into law yesterday in Wausau.
Coming up, we'll learn about a study that tries to make sense of elevated ozone levels in the Sheboygan area. Stay with us here on Central Time.